Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. I want to come to you today and bring a teaching, something that came up recently. Someone that emailed me, we were talking about this topic, and I want to cover it. I think it'll be rather telling and informative to you. The title of my teaching today: what is evil? And are you evil? What is evil? And are you evil? Yeah, this topic came up via email, someone that emailed me, and I was reasoning with them. And not long ago, I did a word study and did a teaching on the word wicked. And I knew a man years ago that used to use that term all the time, and I started looking into it when I ran into him, and I realized it's a biblical term, so that word wicked was pretty interesting, and I did a study on it. Today we're going to look at the word evil. And most people are deceived about their thought about what is evil. When most people are asked, all right, if you were to ask them about evil, they're going to say on the sin scale, as people call it, sin scale, things like mass murder or abortion or witchcraft, those are really evil. All right, that's what they're going to say. But there's many things that the Bible describes as evil, which I think is going to surprise you, and that's kind of why I'm doing this teaching. It's going to kind of level things out for us. Things that you or I may do could be evil. Interesting. Let's start in the Old Testament. All right, this first verse shows us the two opposites, good and evil. Genesis 3, verse 5. For God doth know in that day ye eat thereof, when your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So God tells us right there that there's good, there's evil, there's total opposite. So we see that evil is the opposite of good there. The next verse I have in Genesis, God is describing man's condition, mankind's condition right before the flood. Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Interesting. Evil continually in mankind. It's why God wiped them out with the flood. Now, note, it was violence that made God act to destroy mankind. So violence and evil go hand in hand. That word in the Hebrew is raha. And so evil means bad, wicked. Remember, we talked about wicked. Unethical, sinful, wretched, hurtful. All right. Now, it's used, the word evil is used over almost 500 times in the New Testament. I think it's 470 something times in the Old Testament. And what I think, as I studied this out, what is very telling is the range of what is evil that will surprise most people. And you're going to see that as we go through this. That's why I'm doing it, so that we can rightly divide the word and learn from it. So the next verse I have is, it's talking about the evil that Pharaoh did from Egypt against Israel when he enslaved them. Pretty evil, right? Exodus 5:23. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to his people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So Pharaoh was an evil man, no doubt about it, enslaving a whole group of people. But then we have verses like Deuteronomy 15:9. It says this: beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So you go from the evil of Pharaoh to here just not hearing a brother in the time when you're supposed to, that seventh year, I guess, release debt, and it was a time of giving, and you hold back against a poor brother, and it's evil. See the range there of evil? Now, what God views as evil is very, very different than most of the people in the culture here in America, and I'm pretty confident around the world, and churchianity. When we're out in the streets witnessing, proclaiming the gospel, we talk to people, people will always say to me this. They'll say, well, yeah, I sin, but I'm not bad or evil, is what they always tell me. It's one of the reasons why I'm doing this teaching. And they'll say things like, well, I'm not doing murder or adultery. And they kind of infer that because they're not doing something really evil, that God is going to overlook or approve their lifestyle, their sin, because they're doing less sin by their own admission. What a foolish theology to have. It's very naive. And in fact, I'm going to show you, because of the foolishness, it's evil for them to think that way. I'm going to show you why as we go on, so bear with me here. So this next verse in the Old Testament, we see the actions of a rebellious child. Deuteronomy 21, 20 through 21. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die, so that thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So this evil was not obeying your parents, being a glutton and a drunkard, and it cost you your life. They stoned him to death. Evil. Yeah, pretty amazing. I like how this next verse is stated. Deuteronomy 30, 15 and 16. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land, whither thou goest to possess it. I like that. Life and good, death and evil. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Even way back then, we see what? Faith and works going together. That's been another theme that I've been working on with various people. Faith and works. Noah had faith. He built an ark. Abraham had faith. He took a son in the desert to be a sacrifice. Here we see them telling them to have their belief and their faith in God and keep his commandments and love God. Faith and works, right? So now we move on to 2 Samuel 12:9, and we see David's deed, the famous deed that David did, called evil. And most people would agree with this. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. So David gets caught in his famous sin, murder, and adultery. Yeah, that's pretty evil, isn't it? Yeah, it definitely is evil. How about Solomon? It says Solomon did evil with his idolatry. Most would agree with this too. 1 Kings 11, 5 and 6. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom and the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the Lord sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. So no doubt idolatry, evil before a holy God. But now in this next verse, 2 Chronicles 12:14, we see this leader, what he did evil, why he was called evil, what his evil was. 2 Chronicles 12:14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So this leader of, Rehoboam of Israel, was not keeping, following, not placing his faith and trust in the Lord. He did evil. Yeah, so you see this range of evil in the Old Testament. What some people say is big or smaller sins, as they describe it, God calls it all evil. All right, and we're going to see more of that in the New Testament. Some people would think it would get less in the New Testament. Oh, it actually increases in the New Testament. Because remember, Jesus came and he raised the bar for all of us. He didn't lower it. He raised the bar for all of us because of the Word and the Spirit that would come. So keep that in mind as we keep reading on. So many people will tell me, yeah, that's just Old Testament stuff. The New Testament is all grace alone, faith alone. It's all different now. Well, don't take my word for it. Let's go see. Let's go look and see this word evil in the New Testament. It's used over 100 times. Matthew 5:11, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." This word in the Greek is paneros. It means hurtful, lewd, malicious, wicked, sinful. That's what it means. Matthew 6:13. This is from the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Same word. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus used the word evil. We're going to get back to Jesus in a minute. Brother Paul, Brother Apostle Paul used the term evil. Romans 12:9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." There you go. So we're to abhor evil. We're not to dabble with it. We're not to follow it around. We're not to toy with it. We're not to stay close to it. We're not to do a little bit of it. We're supposed to abhor evil, per Apostle Paul. More of Paul, Colossians 3:5. "Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So Brother Paul used the term evil as well, describing some of those evil actions right there. Peter used it as well. Brother Peter. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." So Peter knew how to use the word evil as well. How about Brother John? John used the word evil. 2 John 1:11. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed." So that's kind of like wishing a false teacher well. "Have a good day," you know, that kind of thing. I really had to train myself not to do that in the beginning of my ministry, just to rebuke them and turn away and not to Godspeed them. That would be evil. So just showing you some New Testament uses of the word evil. But my focus for this teaching is really, I want to go back to Jesus Christ, Creator, King, Messiah, Savior. I want to go back to His words. And I think it's rather telling when we think of what is considered evil by God, Jesus, fully God, fully man, right? Let's go to Mark 7. That's where we're headed. And Jesus teaches us what is evil. Verses 18 through 23 we're going to read. "And he said unto them, Ye are so without understanding also. Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and go out through the draught, purging all meats." So Jesus is making a point here to give the context that food doesn't defile us, all right? That's not what he's telling us, that food doesn't defile us, but what comes from our heart, and he's going to teach us that right here. What does come from our heart? Does evil come from the heart? Let's see. Verse 20, "And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." All right, let's stop right here. So pretty bad stuff, right? Adultery, fornication, murders. Everybody goes, well, those are the big ones, right? Not that God's word says they're any bigger, but that's what people say. And so those are truly evil, right? Well, Jesus is just listing some evil things that most people would agree, but read on. This is where it gets really telling. Verse 22, "Thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So this is really where I wanted to take this teaching. I read this and I was like, wow, I've read this before, but it just jumped out at me because of the experiences I've been having with different people. So see, that's how the word is alive. Sometimes you'll read something and it won't really jump out at you. Then you'll have an experience or in prayer or in study. And next time you read it, it jumps out at you. That's what the Spirit does. Teaches us those things. Teaches us all things according to the book of John. Jesus in the book of John. So I want to go back and talk about some of these things that people would be surprised about that Jesus tells us are included with murder, adultery, and fornication that are evil. So I think we all know about murder. We all know about adultery, fornication. Yep, covetousness. Yeah, that's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not covet. But let's go into these other words, right? And this is going to be where most people would say, wow, I guess I didn't realize these were considered evil. They consider lesser sins, right? Deceit. The Greek word is dolos. It's a trick, untrue, guile, crafty. It's evil, per Jesus. You know, so much of our culture, politics, entertainment, whatever, business world, is into deceit. It's evil before God. Remember, God talks about weighted scales and measures. God hates when people cheat. If you were to cheat somebody, selling them a couple pounds or something, and you short them, this is evil. This is deceitful. Slander, deceit. It's evil, per Jesus Christ. How about lasciviousness? This is lust, filthiness, wantonness. This is evil, per Jesus. Again, so much of our culture is into lasciviousness, how they dress, the entertainment, the things they do, what they talk about, how they, again, entertain themselves, what they watch. Lasciviousness could be your actions, how a woman carries herself, how a man carries himself, trying to tempt other people to look at them. Lasciviousness, evil per Jesus Christ. How about this one, an evil eye? You know, go look at that, study it. That just means you're looking to evil. You're looking to maybe do something. You haven't done it yet. You're just looking to do it. A good example would be David saw Bathsheba bathing. He was looking to do evil to take her, right? He didn't do it yet, but he was looking. Jesus says it's evil just to have an evil eye. Remember Jesus talked about, is where I said he raised the bar in the New Testament. He did. Everybody, you know, let's talk about this real quick. Everybody thinks because Jesus came and died and shed his blood that all of our sins are forgiven and we don't have to worry about sin anymore because he took care of all that. It's the exact opposite is true. Jesus came to die, shed his blood for the covering of sins, to rise again to defeat death. Oh, yes, he came to do that. Paul says for past sins. Absolutely. But Jesus said if you look at a woman with lust, you're convicted. If you hate your brother, you've done murder already. You see how Jesus raised the bar? He said your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. And how we do that? Our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees by Christ's perfect righteousness that we get, and then us living righteous, avoiding evil and sin because of Christ in us, faith and works going together. So people think the Old Testament was really bad in the New Testament. Oh, it's easy now. It's not true. Jesus still expects us to walk in perfection. That's completeness and maturity. He told the woman, don't go, don't sin anymore. He told the man he healed, stop sinning. Something worse is going to happen to you. And so we see that what is sin and what is evil, man-made churchianity has warped it and twisted it as if God doesn't care anymore. But Paul says he calls all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17. And he's not just going to wink at sin. Okay, Jesus came to deal with sin, cleanse us from our past sin, cleanse us from sin we fall into today. But if we live in willful sin, that we won't repent and leave. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 says there's no sacrifice for those sins. So evil eye, just even looking and thinking about it, that's evil per Jesus. Our culture is all about that, isn't it? Wickedness everywhere you turn. How about blasphemy? This is railing, and this is slander. Saying things that aren't true about somebody to hurt their reputation. Yeah. So much of our culture, media, news is all about this. Gossip is everywhere. People lie, slander about you. Jesus said they'll do it about his people because they hate us. We see it all the time. I go street preach and people say I say things that I've never said. They say I'm threatening them. I've never threatened them. They say I'm doing this or doing that. I've never done any of that. It's one of the reasons why I videotape, to keep my witness pure, but they still lie. So blasphemy, Jesus said that's evil. That's everywhere. Slander, lying, it's everywhere in this culture. How about pride? This is haughtiness, arrogance, looking down on others, thinking you're better. This can be how you dress. Ooh, I look good. I feel good about myself. Having your hair fly out and it's all nice. Men doing your hair so people look at you and think you look good. Working out. Thinking your religious body's better than the other religious body. Pride is sin and evil per Jesus Christ. And pride and vanity is all over this world we live in today. It's Satan's world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the god of this world that we're living in our flesh as we walk through in the Spirit of God. So pride, it's everywhere, wicked and evil, per Jesus. How about this last one? Foolishness. The Greek word is aphrosyne. It means thoughtlessness, recklessness, egotism, folly. This is evil per Jesus Christ. Again, so much of our culture and churchianity is into that which is foolish. Super Bowl parties, movie nights, sports and entertainment, hunting and fishing, idolatry, all of this that is not rooted in eternal truth and for God's kingdom is foolishness, all right? And it's evil per Jesus Christ. So that's where I really wanted to take you. Think about what is evil per Jesus. When I tell pastors that they're doing foolishness by having youth clubs where they cover each other with whipped cream and throw marshmallows at each other, as one example, and I say, that's evil, and they laugh at me and they go, we're not being evil. Jesus said, that's foolishness, not sober, not holy. It's sin and it's evil. Yeah, go look it up, modern pastors. I like how John puts it as he teaches us more faith and works going together here. 3 John 1:11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Pretty clear there, huh? Faith and works hand in hand. So I hope you're getting the idea here. Evil is more than just killing. It's more than adultery or Satanism. Evil can be what's in your heart. Pride, foolishness, gossip, blasphemy. If you allow it to stay there, and if you propagate it by how you live, you're living in sinful wickedness and evil. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. Now, question, do you rebel from obeying all of God's word in the New Testament that it teaches us and some pre-Torah things? Are you stubborn against keeping God, all of God's commandments? There's over 1,000 in the New Testament to be holy before him. You are, in fact, doing witchcraft and idolatry. That also would be evil. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity, that's sin, and idolatry. You see how all these things tie together, folks? When you disobey God, whether it's one lie or mass murder, it's all tied together into sin and evilness, wickedness. There really is no big or little sin. What there is there's sin that has a greater consequence. David having Bathsheba's husband killed was a great consequence sin. But there is no big, there is no little sin. God sees all sin as evil and wicked in his sight. I mean, he killed people in the New Testament after grace had come over one lie. Go read Acts 5, a husband and wife. It's why his children, bought by his blood, through repentance, faith in his work, repentance, being born again, striving in holiness and obedience, and enduring to the end. I just preached the gospel to you. It's why his people will flee it sin, wickedness, evil for his glory, if they know him and they love him, all per the Spirit of God. You think the Spirit of God ever keeps you in sin? No. The Spirit of God is holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for God is holy. I like what Brother Paul said here, 2 Timothy 2:19-22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity, sin. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to of honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good use, every good work. 22. Flee also youthful lusts, that would be evil, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Are you calling on the Lord out of a pure heart? That means you're going to obey him, right? The book of Acts says he gave the Holy Spirit to those who will obey him. Faith and works going together. I like how Paul phrased that. So we have to ask ourselves, have we fled all sin, wickedness, and evil to be followers of Christ as fruit that we know him? Don't listen to these wicked, evangelical, false, grace alone, faith alone teachers that tell you, you don't got to live a certain way, you don't got to leave sin, you don't have to be holy. They are false teachers with itchy ears, living in lukewarm carnality and flesh, loving their sin to their own damnation. Don't listen to them. We're to flee evil and sin. Why? It's all over the scriptures. Let me give you one. Brother Paul, Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, that would be evil and wickedness, or of obedience unto righteousness. If you have the righteousness of Christ, you want to obey all of his commandments. If you want to keep sinning, you're walking down the road, broad road of destruction and death. It's all over scripture. I'm kind of lacing it in here with evil because it seems to fit. It's evil for people to tell you faith and works don't go together, by the way. So evil and sin lead to death. Obeying Christ as fruit, you know him, leads to life. Pretty simple, isn't it? I think a 10-year-old could read the Bible and get that until these theologians come in and try to muddy the waters and make things complicated so they can keep and stay in their sin. How about Jesus Christ? Again, let's go back to his words. In Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I guess Jesus didn't get the faith alone, grace alone memo from all these false evangelical teachers. Jesus said, you hear these sayings, my commandments, and do them. Yeah, pretty clear. We're supposed to be doers, not just hearers, per James. Amen. So I hope this teaching will help you ponder sin, iniquity, wickedness, evil. A bit different now that you realize it comes from the heart, you're capable of it, and just exactly what is evil per the Lord. Test yourself to see if you have any of this in you. We do have a flesh. We have to crucify the flesh. We have to put the old man down. Are you working on that? Don't accept sin and wickedness in you. It's not the fruit that you're following a holy Savior that died to set you free. Amen. I'm going to test myself so that we can be blameless before a holy God. Anyone who defends any sin, you should run from them as a false teacher. You will not find one godly person that Jesus Christ ever called defend any one single sin anywhere. The cry is always to repent, turn from all sin, turn from all wickedness and evil. Walk in holiness and obedience. It must be purged out, making us worthy for his use. I got a scripture verse for you. 1 Thess 2:12, that ye should walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and his glory. Go ponder this term, evil. Yeah, it can be really, really terrible sin that has a great cost and consequence. It can be sins that just reside in your heart, like pride, foolishness, and deceit. Per Jesus Christ, they're all evil. What are you doing to purge them from your life? Let's abstain from all appearance, 1 Thess 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Yeah, there's faith and works going together once again. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope that's blessed you. I like these word studies. They're very meaningful to me because it brings out a lot of experiences I've had in preaching, in my own life, in witnessing, in discipling. And when I hear Jesus' words, I've read that before, but when I heard his words and he talks about what is evil, and I thought, well, people need to hear this because pride, deceit, foolishness, blasphemy, these are not small matters to a holy God. I hope you have your theology rightly divided in the Word of God and you're set on holiness and obedience as fruit that you're following the King. The King's children do not walk in sin, evil, and wickedness. That is not the grace of God. That's trampling the grace of God. Hey, I'm going to leave it right there. We love you all. Don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog every day. Articles, audios, videos, sisters blogs. We want you to flee evil and walk in holiness because of what this glorious Savior's done. Click on the gospel. It's on about every page. And let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.